Hello everyone, this is Mike Quinsey, Connecting the Light. I have a guest with me this evening who's Colin Turner from Canada, and he's going to talk with me about his book called Beyond All Reasonable Doubt, which is about his experience with his soulmate, Janine. They met many years ago and in the course of their experiences came to set up the Blue Feather Healing Sanctuary, that was way back in August 1975. Now, before I actually introduce Colin to the program, can I just tell you that for the first time, from my point of view, we're doing this through the Skype connection, although Colin, I believe, finds it better with the hand phone. But nevertheless, are you there, Colin, and can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you, Mike.
That's great, okay. Well, obviously, welcome to the program. I've really been looking forward to this interview, having read your very, very interesting book. Now, obviously, I want you to talk about that a little later in the program, but I'd like to start at the beginning in the sense that you were, in the early days, way back in the 50s, in the police force, and you left the police force, and that is when you emigrated to Canada, and I believe you said in your book it was at the age of 40 that you embarked on your voyage of discovery. So tell us about those early years. What actually took place?
Okay, Mike. Well, I was a Scotland Yard detective, and the pay was lousy, and so was the promotion rate. It improved after I left, actually, but in 1957, I decided, actually it was 56, I decided to emigrate to Canada. I'd been in Canada briefly on the East Coast during the war years. I was in the Navy. And I decided to emigrate and left the police. My colleagues at Scotland Yard told me I was crazy, that I had 10 years service at that time. And regardless of that, I decided to come to Canada. And this I did. I emigrated and continued the healing work continued the police work rather in Canada, in various ways. Intelligence service with the Canadian government. I was a flight security officer for the Governor General at one time, and also for the Duke of Edinburgh when he was in Canada, and also I was doing investigations and various intelligence work and all kinds of things like that. And then I did a stint of duty in Germany for 8 years. And it was during that time that I started looking for answers in my life, because things weren't going quite right. My marriage wasn't in good shape. I was under a lot of stress. And I just couldn't get a handle on some things, and I was looking for answers that weren't available to me in the normal channels. So I decided knowing London quite well, I flew from Germany to London and started looking for answers in various organizations that exist in London. College of Psychic Studies, and I sat with psychics and mediums and went to all kinds of meetings. And it was there, actually, that I started on a path towards healing without realizing it. But during that time that I was looking for answers, I was told by three separate psychics that I was a healer. Now, whether I was or not, I didn't know, and that remained to be seen, but that sort of kicked me off in that direction anyway. And when I came back to Canada in 1968, I continued looking for answers and studying and seeing people and reading books. And then eventually I finished my police service, I decided... I met Janine, and we decided to open a healing center in Ottawa, and that was in 1975. And it was a non-profit corporation, registered charity. We obtained registered charity status later. And then we operated on the basis of applying ourselves in service to others by being channels for healing. And we didn't charge any money, and we were not a religious organization. And we didn't advertise. And so it was a very slow start, but gradually people were being healed, and it got into the newspapers. We got on the radio, got on the television, you know, and that sort of thing. And so at one time towards the end, we were having 3,000 patient visits a year coming to the healing center, and a lot of people were being healed, everything from cancer to acne. Not everybody got healed, but nevertheless, the healing center was quite a success.
Actually,
we thought that it would get bigger and bigger and bigger, but our direction was to close the center down, which we did, and then we went to the Yukon. And that's another part of the story.
Right. So, just to clarify that point, are you doing healing from another center at this time?
No. We have been conducting healing ever since we left Ottawa on a distant healing basis. And then here in the place where we live at Ryandell, we've been here 20 years. We have been doing contact healing, but mostly what we call distant healing, and I can explain what those terms mean later. But
yeah.
We do not have a healing center per se. The one in Ottawa was the one we established, but we also went to Atlin in 1982, and the Atlin Holistic Society, most of the people who belonged to that were in Whitehorse. They asked us to administrate that society in Atlin in a huge pyramid that was built there by Don Brannigan, the mayor of Whitehorse, doctor who was interested in healing and the metaphysical things. And so we worked there for a year doing healing and did some successful healing and workshops before we eventually moved to Whitehorse. And then I got back into government work and for a number of years. But we still, in any event, we still did distant healing, although we had no healing center to operate from.
Right, yes. Now, let's hear a little bit more about some of the events that happened before you really got going. Of course, I'm referring to what you have said in your book.
Mm-hmm.
But talking of books, I think you mentioned that in the early days, that when you were probably browsing around books, they practically jumped out at you. Tell us about those sort of experiences.
Yes, that's right. Well, when I went to London, initially looking for answers, I found that when I was seeking direction, I would ask in my prayers and meditations for guidance, and I would find myself meeting all kinds of people. I sat with some very fine psychics who gave me information about the guides who we were going to be involved with. And one of them particularly was Ina Twigg, who is an internationally well-known medium.
Yeah.
And it was at the sitting I had with her in London that she revealed many things to me which were very beneficial and indicated that a path of healing was to follow. Of course, I went to all kinds of meetings, and I used to sort of haunt esoteric bookshops and looking for all kinds of books. And where there had been questions in my mind about certain aspects of healing and spirituality, I found that books were put in front of me, so to speak. They sort of almost fell into my hands. I would come across them and find that, oh, this is just what I'm looking for. And yes. I think it was following the dictum, ask and it shall be given unto you, knock and the door shall be opened, seek and ye shall find. These are all admonitions which will help you along your spiritual path if you use them to find out exactly what it is you're looking for.
Yes. I have a friend who is also a healer and a psychic, and she told me that on one occasion a book literally fell out of the shelf and on top of her, and it was meant for her. Now, there was a little experience you had way back in 1964 when you read the psychic news, and if I get this right, I believe that later in life, Janine read the same copy.
Yeah, well, actually, I was in crisis in Germany, and that's when I started looking for answers. Unbeknownst to me, in Ottawa, Canada, Janine was in a similar situation for perhaps different reasons, and she was working in a doctor's office, and she was hearing, she'd had psychic abilities, although she didn't know them as such, from the time of her childhood. All kinds of things would happen to her, and she became aware of events which she couldn't possibly have known about in any other way. In any event, she was very troubled. She worked in a doctor's office at the time, and she thought she was going insane. She was really, really troubled because listening to doctors and listening to what they had to say about mental problems, she thought for certain that she schizophrenic and that she was in serious trouble and that she was going mad and she couldn't talk to anybody about it. Anyway, her husband was at that time was an optician, and he had a friend who was an optician, and his wife and Janine, of course, were friends, and she was visiting her one day, and her friend was making tea in the kitchen, and Janine was sitting in the living room, and on the coffee table was a copy of the newspaper, Psychic News, the same newspaper that I picked up in Charing Cross way back in the 60s when I was in trouble and looking for answers. Now, when she picked that newspaper up, she realized that there were other people who were experiencing the same things as she was experiencing, and that she wasn't mad after all. So this was an enormous relief to her. And a friend who was attending a little spiritual church introduced her to the minister, and then this minister, who became a good friend of Janine's, explained to her about psychic phenomena and what was happening and that she was a channel and so on. And so this was before I met Janine, of course. Mm-hmm. And so she was greatly relieved, and she really took a great deal of pressure off her, because in reality she was thinking of committing suicide, and she went so far as to plan it all out. To she would increase life insurance, and then they had a cottage at the lake. She would go out for a swim in the lake and go too far and couldn't get back, and they'd think it was an accident. So you can imagine the stew she was in at that time.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, carry on.
Pardon me? Yes.
Yeah,
and then,
carry on, yes.
Okay,
yeah.
Yes. And then, of course, I went to Ottawa, and she was involved in this little church and in healing and things like that. And it was a non-denominational church. The minister was psychic there. And then there was a friend of mine, entirely unconnected with that, but who did know about the church, and she was a dear old lady, and she bugged the life out of me to go and attend this church. So I finally said, oh, all right, Nancy, I'll go and visit if you want me to. So I did. And and then Janine, who was aware that she was going to meet somebody with a German connection, which I had, although I'm not German, I had no knowledge of this, But she was aware, and eventually we met in a little group that decided to do healing in a room that we rented in Ottawa, and it was very small beginnings. We didn't charge money, but we were trying to help people and use our gifts for healing. And in this way, I met Janine, and then we decided to establish a healing center. And then I went looking for a place and found one in the Glebe, which is well known in Ottawa. And it was a rundown property, which was really going for a ridiculously low price, and of course we didn't have much money. But anyway, we established the healing center and opened it in 1975. We didn't advertise, and I remember the first night the healing center was open, we sat there with a few of our friends, and because we hadn't advertised, we did have a plate on the outside on the wall, Blue Feather Healing Sanctuary. And Janine and I had spent a great deal of time researching the law library at Ottawa University to establish the place as a non-profit corporation and a registered charity. And so we sat there and not a soul came. But gradually, people started coming. They became aware, and people started being healed. And this is where it all grew and grew and grew from. From there on, there were quite remarkable healings. And I can tell you about a few of them, if you wish, that occurred at the healing center. For instance, there was a young man in his, he's about 40, I guess, came and he was suffering from headaches and pains in his neck, and he didn't know what it was. So he came to us anyway. And we suggested he go and see a doctor, and we always sought to do that. If somebody came to us and hadn't been to a doctor and had their problem diagnosed, we would urge them to go to a doctor and get a diagnosis, find out exactly what was wrong. So he did go to a doctor and got his spine in the neck area, excuse me, x-rayed, and he was told that he had deteriorated spinal discs, and the doctor said he was very sorry, he couldn't do anything about it, it was an incurable condition, he could relieve his pain with drugs. So this young man then started coming for healing. And after several months, the headaches had gone. There was no pain in his neck. So he went to another doctor, and this was all of his own free will and volition. We didn't ask him to do this. This was his own idea. He went to another doctor and got another set of x-rays. And the doctor said, well, there's nothing wrong with your neck. It's perfectly okay. So he took the second set of x-rays to the first doctor, and they compared them. And, of course, the doctor didn't know what to say. He couldn't understand that that condition had disappeared, and that was a result of the healing. Well, that was only one case, of course, but it was a significant indication that healing was taking place at the healing center.
That was wonderful. And it's funny you should mention that one, because I picked out two case studies to ask you about, and that was one of them.
Yes.
So tell us about the other one, of the woman with the cancerous tumor.
The cancerous tumor, which one was that? There were a number.
I can't tell you off the cuff because I simply made a note.
Can you?
There was obviously something about that one which was made it a little bit special. But look, don't worry about that one.
Yeah, there was a lady that came to us. She had cancer of the thyroid. That was that may have been it, but I don't think it was that cancerous tumor. I'm trying to think. There were.
That was the one. I found it in your book just by chance.
Yeah.
You did mention that it was a cancerous thyroid tumor.
Oh yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah. She came to us. She had been to another healer, but it hadn't worked. And she came to us and was healed of that of the cancer disappeared. And you know, we are not responsible directly for the healing, if you know what I mean. We can't control the healing. We are sometimes, you know, we would get patients. And they would come with certain complaints that they had, either in their stomach or wherever part of their body. And they wouldn't always tell us of other conditions that they had. And then we found that in many cases, the condition that they didn't tell us about was healed. And it was obviously more important. And the one that they had told us about wasn't healed until later. Mm-hmm. But they were quite... you see, you know, with a paranormal healing, it's to explain it. The best thing I can say is this: if we wish to bring about a change, you know, in a physical or material body, you have to. If it's wood, you saw it, or cut it, or drill it, or whether it's. Blows on a horseshoe on an anvil, the use of surgical instruments or introduction of drugs into the body or whatever. So the nature of the body or the matter requiring change or alteration, you know, there a force has to be applied in order for a change to be brought about. Now, when a person goes to a doctor, and insofar as medical knowledge is concerned, there's no known cure, it may be possible for drugs or medicine to treat the condition, but from a conventional medical point of view, it remains incurable. Okay, so in other words, there's no force known to modern medicine whereby healing of the condition or disease can be effected. Mm. So that when a person suffering from a so-called incurable condition or disease receives a form of paranormal healing whereby full or even partial healing or recovery is affected, the question must be addressed as to what has happened. It is not scientifically acceptable to refer to the event as a spontaneous remission, and that's what some doctors do. They say, oh, well, it's just gone away. It's a spontaneous remission. But that doesn't explain what happened, and so we must examine the process one step further. So if we are to arrive at the correct answer, what has taken place is that a force or energy has been applied to the physical body and has succeeded in bringing about a partial or full eradication of a condition or disease, a result which could not be achieved by the best medical knowledge or procedures known to man. So, you know, now having said that, and that might make the doctors look bad, but... let me say unequivocally, you know, that the purpose of examining paranormal healing is not even in part to seek denigration of medical doctors or the medical profession. I have worked with and been treated by many fine, you know, dedicated doctors and surgeons who form part of a really fine profession committed to the relief of pain and suffering. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, physicians, like any other segment of humanity, are subject to human error. So, you know, and they profess, as a professional body anyway, they possess members with the finest skills and qualities that can exist in human beings. So, you know, if they make errors, well, that's down to humanity.
Yes.
You know.
I should add there that when you're talking about the paranormal healing, you and Janine were aware that you had spirit helpers with you during the healing sessions.
Yes, that's right. The situation with the paranormal healing, it doesn't originate with us, never did, and it doesn't originate with any other healer either. You know, you say we had 30 patients an evening at the healing center or during the day. If we were using our own physical energies to do the healing, we'd be lying flat on the floor. I mean, we'd be exhausted. You can't do it. You couldn't keep it up. What what healers are, they are channels for healing. The healing is channeled through them. So how does this happen? So then we discovered, of course, in the course of our inquiries and sitting with psychics in meditation, and then Janine, we were told earlier on about doctors and guides that would be working through us, okay? And then eventually Janine, who has been psychic since she was a child, was able to communicate with these doctors and guides, and we came to know them. And then, quite remarkably, I sat with Coral Polge at the Spiritualist Association of Great Britain in London, and she is a great psychic artist. And so while we were in Ottawa, we wrote to Coral Polge and asked her if she could provide portraits of the guides and doctors that were working through us to do the healing. And this she started to do. And we have a full set of color portraits created by Coral. What she would do would be to send us a sketch first and say, this is Blue Feather, and he is the chief guide of the healing group, which is called a healing band. And then she would say, and Janine would speak with the guides, and we would establish these identities, and then we would get back to Coral and confirm that these indeed were the people that, and that was correct. And then she would send us a full portrait.
Okay. Yeah.
And so we had these in pictures on the wall of the center. Now, there was one particular guide which blew the socks off everybody because we didn't ask for him. We didn't know that he was coming to work in the healing center. And all of a sudden, his sketch portrait came through from Coral Polge, although we hadn't asked for it, and it was a sketch of Sigmund Freud. And this is quite remarkable, because we hadn't asked for it. If we'd have asked for it, she might have thought we were grandstanding or doing an ego trip or something like that, but we had no knowledge of that. And so eventually Sigmund Freud spoke through Janine, and he is part of the healing band of doctors that are involved in the healing, which deal with the mental aspects, of course, of patients that came to the healing center. So that was quite a surprise, Mike.
Yeah. Now, Colin, you yourself have had some unusual healing experiences. I'm sure that goes without saying. But you healed a lady called Krista and also her daughter-in-law.
Yes.
And as I read it, there was it was an unusual way in which the healings took place. So
yes, it was. I can tell you all about that. I remember that because that was before the healing center was open. And that was at a time when I knew I'd been told that I was a healing channel by three psychics, but they were human beings, so I didn't know in a really certain way to my own satisfaction that, you know, I was capable of being a healer, or I was a healing channel. So I, in my prayers to my Heavenly Father, I asked that I be shown or given evidence that if this is what I was supposed to do in His name and for the benefit of my fellow beings, that I be given evidence to satisfy myself that I was in fact a healing channel. Now, I didn't tell anybody else about this. This was something between me and God, if you like, that I said in my prayers. Now, at that time, I'd been attending a little spiritual meeting at a hotel in Ottawa, and Krista, who's the wife of a doctor in Ottawa, she was also attending there, and we used to sit and talk about healing and things like that while we were waiting for the church to, or the spiritual meeting to open. And on one occasion, I loaned her one of my books. And sometime in, I think it was 71 or something like that, I decided that I wanted to get the book back because it was out of print and I didn't want to lose it. So I wasn't certain of her name. There were only two in the phone book, but I called one, and although it was the wrong number, in reality it was the right number because it was a daughter-in-law. If I'd have called the correct numbers, I wouldn't have got an answer. Anyway, the daughter-in-law told me that the mother-in-law was in hospital awaiting a spinal operation. So I went and, of course, visited her. Her husband happened to be visiting at the same time, so I didn't stay around. I took her some spiritual magazines and wished her good luck and then left. She was just a day or so away from the operation. She had the operation, was sent home, and I called her to ask how she was, and she was in severe pain, and she couldn't walk. And this went on for some time, and so she entreated the surgeon to and asked him what could be done to relieve the pain, and he told her, "I'm very sorry that the only thing that I can do for you would be to sever your nerve cords and make you a paraplegic. That's the only option that's available to you."
Gracious. Mm.
So that's a pretty nasty option.
Absolutely.
So anyway, we talked and discussed it, and she knew that I had been told I was a healer, but that I hadn't really been doing any healing. So we discussed whether we should try something if that other option was, not acceptable. I don't think it was. Anyway, I said, "You're going to have to decide. I can't decide for you. I can't make the decision." So anyway, after a few days, she couldn't stand the pain anymore. She called me and said she'd give it a try. So I'd never done this before, so I went over to her house in the evenings and placed my hands on her spine and got into an attuned state and started the healing. I could feel some energy flowing, although I really didn't know what I was doing. But the first thing to go were the headaches, and then she was able to start walking, and I told her that she should start walking outside. Now, this happened in May. This started in May, and then by August, she was up and about and walking, no headaches, and fine. Then she went on a trip with her husband and came back in a wheelchair because she'd gone at it too soon, you know. She hadn't recuperated enough. So despite the setback, we started on the healing again, and by November, she was doing her yoga, driving the car, doing the housework. She was fine, and she was healed. Now, it wasn't until after that I realized that this was the answer to the prayer that I had made as to whether or not I was a healing channel. So it was very clear. I mean, nobody else was involved, and Krista was completely healed. There's a photograph of her and her husband, Dr. Gao, and Janine in the book, and I'm sure you've seen that, Mike.
Yes.
So that was the thing that set me in the direction of a path and a life of healing. And from then on, Janine and I decided to open a healing center.
That was wonderful. You were clearly intended to do all of this. Now, tell us a little bit more about Janine, because I gather that she had one period in her life during 1974, in fact, a seven-day period, when she had a whole series of unusual experiences.
Yes, she did. Before we opened the healing center, and after she found out about Psychic News, she started having all kinds of psychic phenomena happening in her house, and before she realized what it was, they thought it was squirrels and did all kinds of things to eradicate the problem, but they still continued. But anyway, she was lying in bed and she could hear rappings, and gradually she contacted the source and answered it by answering it with knocks, and eventually the rappings led her to a drawer which contained her mother's photograph. And then she realized that the person who was communicating was her mother, who had died when she was a young girl. So from then on, the psychic phenomena became a learning process for her to prepare her for her work in healing, because she was taken out of the body and shown all kinds of things and situations, and given a lot of instruction in spiritual matters and experiences, and so it was from there on that when we opened the healing center, she was able to communicate with the guides and doctors and receive instructions and be guided by them in a very practical way. So her psychic abilities were very highly tuned. She never did readings per se, as a lot of psychics do, but she was merely using her abilities as a connective channel between the healing center and the guides and doctors who were working through us to heal people.
Yeah. Now, tell me, what did she say about her visit during that period of time when she was taken to the place where suicides find themselves?
Yes, she saw a certain uniforms there and realized that they were French uniforms, actually, which she identified from some time before, and she was shown that people who commit suicide, because they take their own lives, they're plunged into very bad conditions on the lower astral plane. It's a form of self-made hell where they're in darkness until such time as they reach out for help from the God Force, and until they can gradually get back into normalcy and away from those conditions, and where they can expiate, if you like, the having taken their own life. And she was made to see what would have happened to her had she taken her own life, as she was planning to do.
Right. Now, something that's often worried me about that, Colin, is that if you have a person who is, say, mentally ill, perhaps they've had a series of nervous breakdowns,
yes,
and in that condition they take their life, I wouldn't have seen that as a calculated, deliberate attempt to commit suicide. But surely in that case, there must be some degree of compassion shown, yeah?
Yes, absolutely. I agree with you. The balance is always struck, Mike. Those people are not in the same league as criminals who take, or other persons who take somebody else's life. That's a real no-no, and that's a different thing altogether. But they are shown initially, as soon as they turn towards the light, and this is true for anybody, as soon as they ask for help, help is available to them. And what happens on the earth plane, there are possessing entities who are creating problems for other people, and they don't know they're dead. They haunt houses, and they do all kinds of things which create problems, but they don't realize they're dead, which might seem remarkable, but it's absolutely true. Janine had an experience when she was visiting her daughter in, I think it was Woodstock, Ontario. A daughter was living in a house with a little girl, and the daughter said to her that there was a latch on the basement door, and she kept on putting the latch on, but then kept on finding it unlatched, and the little girl couldn't reach it, so she didn't know what was going on. So one night, Janine was lying in bed, and she woke up and saw a man standing looking out the window. The man turned around, and he wasn't a physical entity. He turned around and then saw that she could see him. And he told her that this was his house, and he had a farm here, which, of course, was no longer a farm. But and then he explained to her that, what had happened to him. So she explained to him that he had done, that he was no longer alive on the earth plane, and that he had lost his physical body. And she sought to have him helped. She asked the guides to help him to go towards the light, and she told him to do that. And then after that, she never told her daughter about that. She didn't want to worry or frighten her. But her daughter told her later, she said, "You know, Mom, after you visited, the latch always stayed on the basement door. It didn't keep on coming off." So obviously the man had been helped to go to the dimension to which he was entitled. And there's a lot of rescue circles that operate to help people who don't realize that they're dead, Mike.
Absolutely, yes.
Yes.
Yes, I had a friend who used to do that work. And it surprised me that some of the people still walking the earth, in our terminology, have been doing it for about 200 or more years. Time doesn't seem to relate to them at all.
No, that's right. It doesn't mean anything. The reason people, there are hauntings in houses, somebody who doesn't realize they're dead, if somebody comes into the house, they get very upset and start throwing things around and banging doors. Because, what are you doing in my house,
Yes.
As far as they're concerned, it's their house. So there is a book that I have. It's out of print, but it's by Dr. Carl Wicklund, and it's called 30 Years Among the Dead. You might get a copy through Abe Books. It was down in the States. His wife was psychic, and he rescued an enormous number of people who were possessed, people who didn't realize they were dead and had attached themselves to other people, got tangled up in their auras, and they were able to, and recordings, they had a secretary at these meetings, and there was a circle operating from the other side who cooperated with them to take these people away. But they used to carry on conversation and eventually convince the individuals that they had indeed passed away and it was time for them to go on, to the dimension to which they're entitled. So Dr. Yeah. Carl Wicklund, 30 Years Among the Dead, that's a fascinating book about all those things and about lots of similar psychic things. And he was saying that there are lots of people in mental homes that shouldn't be there. They were possessed, actually. And rather than need medical attention or be locked up, they needed someone like him and his wife to help them.
Yeah. Now, do you know how his surname is spelt?
Wicklund, Wickland, Carl, Carl, Wickland, and he was a doctor, Dr. Carl Wicklund. I have the book here. I don't know, I haven't got it in front of me, but it's in my book somewhere.
Okay, if people have the name, they can soon track that one down.
They should. They have the title, and this was back in, he was operating back in the 30s, And It's an excellent book, and if you want to learn about possession and entities on the earth plane who don't know they're dead, that's the book to read.
Right, now let's come to your book, Beyond All Reasonable Doubt. What does the title mean?
Pardon?
What does the title mean?
The title means that, well, you know, I've been involved in law for all my working life, and if you go into court with evidence to convict somebody, you have to convince a jury or a judge beyond all reasonable doubt that the evidence you are presenting is enough to convict them. Okay, that's the terminology that's used. Now, if there is a reasonable doubt about the evidence, then, of course, they quite often acquit the person. But Beyond All Reasonable Doubt is the title of the book, which states that healing energies are available to people to heal them, to bring them back to health, and it is available to everybody if you go to a healing source. And the evidence that they exist is beyond all reasonable doubt there for anybody to see that healing works. The other aspect of beyond all reasonable doubt is that there is a whole body of evidence that exists on the earth plane, in libraries, in books like this. This book is a way shower. It's a door opener for people who want to learn about who they really are, why they're here, and where they're going. And the evidence that is presented in the book and in other sources, in the bibliography as well, it's there beyond all reasonable doubt to prove to them that what is being written is true, because the body of evidence is huge.
Yes.
So that's what the book is all about.
I know that you can be contacted by email, and some listeners might want to do that. Would you like to give your email address out?
Yes, I can. It's actually, it's the word for Wales, because I was born in Wales and I use it. There's no, I'll spell it out, I think. It's C-W, M-R-Y. CWMRY at Bluebell, same as the flower, BLUEBELL.CA. So it's quite a short one. And, CWMRY, which is Cymru, which is the word for Wales, at Bluebell.CA.
Right, now, having mentioned your book, is it available at the moment?
Yes, it is. I had 1,000 printed, the first printing. And at the moment, Mike, I'm the only distributor, and I'm working on getting a much larger distribution area, if you like. There are books available in the towns close to me here, and also in Whitehorse. But outside of that, the only place you can get them at the moment is from me, and I'm readily open to mail books to people, whoever wants them. You know, they can contact. In fact, the two you referred to me have contacted me by email. And I sent off a book to Scotland this morning, and I'm waiting to hear on Monday whether the individual in the States wants one or two books anyway. So there's not a problem. They're readily available through me. They are $16.95. There's no tax because they come through me. There's a small charge for postage. Depending on where it is, the book I sent to Scotland was sent airmail, and that's about $15. But I don't charge for handling, if you like, just the postage.
Right, so that's $16.95.
Yes, that's Canadian.
Yes, okay.
Yeah. Right. And so I'm quite happy to send. I just sent 6 books to a store in Creston, BC, which is about 50 miles from here. They're obviously selling books there, and yes. And there is a number of bookstores that that have them here, and also in the Yukon.
Yeah. Well, obviously, having read it, I can state that it is a very interesting book, and we have touched upon some of the information in it. But let me confirm, that book actually covered 30 years of your healing period, is that correct?
Yes, that's quite correct, Mike. Covers a large period of time. There's a lot of information in it which we haven't dealt with, you know. Impossible to deal with the whole thing now, but although I've had some considerable feedback from various people, not only friends, but people who've purchased the book, and they were quite delighted with it and found it extremely interesting.
Yes. Now that the time has gone so quickly, Colin, I've got a couple of minutes left to announce my guest for next week.
Okay.
I'm going to have to thank you very much for coming onto the program. It's very enjoyable. And I wish you all the success in selling your books, as it's well worthwhile buying. So thank you very much for coming on.
Well, thank you, Mike. I really am appreciative of being able to air my views. I'm not trying to proselytize anyone or convince them of my way of thinking, but it's open to them whether they choose to do that or not. But it's if they're looking for enlightenment and healing, the information is there for them.
Thank you very much, Colin.
Thank you, Mike. I'll stay in touch. I think you're doing marvelous work, you know, sending out what you do.
Thank you very much. Okay. Right, friends, I think that was an enjoyable interview. I'm sure you must have enjoyed that a lot. I'm hoping my next guest will be Christina Keane. I say hoping because at the moment I haven't had confirmation that this date is still okay, but if she appears, she channels a being called Sophia, and she uses that connection to give readings to people. I'll say no more, just in case I have to put someone else in at the last minute, but I will circulate the information as soon as I know who I've got. So thank you for being with me. God bless you all. Hope to see you next week. Bye.